this is Lon Solomon, and I'd like to welcome you to our program today. You know, it's a tremendous honor that God has given us to be on stations all around the nation, bringing the truth of God's Word as it is, uncompromising and straightforward. And I'm so glad you've tuned in to listen and be part of that. Thanks again for your support and your generosity that keeps us on the radio. And now, let's get to the Word of God. Well, you know, one of my favorite hymns is an old one, and it goes like this. It says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. I like that part. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. All right, well, you know, this Thanksgiving weekend, I'm sure many of us did that. Many of us counted our blessings, but it's my observation that as followers of Jesus Christ, when we sit down to thank God for all that He's done for us, usually we end up thanking Him for the physical blessings that He's given us, like good health, a good job, our car, our home, our family. And there's nothing wrong with this, but you know, the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And in other words, I believe when it comes to counting our blessings this Thanksgiving weekend, really it would behoove us to focus on the spiritual blessings that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us, as well as the physical blessings. And so today, I've got five spiritual blessings that I'm very thankful for that I want to share with you. And we'll see if you're not thankful for the very same five. They all come right out of Psalm 23. So if you brought a Bible today, I'd like you to open to the 23rd Psalm. And here we go. Number one, I am thankful that I have a personal heavenly shepherd. In fact, that's how the psalm starts. Verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. David did not say here, the Lord is the shepherd of the whole earth. And the Bible doesn't say here that the Lord is the shepherd of everybody in the universe. The Bible says the Lord is my shepherd. And what David is telling us here in Psalm 23 is that as followers of Jesus Christ, we have a personal, an intimate, and a tender relationship with Almighty God in a way that the rest of the human race does not. He is our personal heavenly shepherd, and we are His personal sheep. And folks, this relationship meets a need in our souls that nothing else can meet. I want to repeat that. This relationship meets a need in our souls as human beings that nothing else on this earth can duplicate. You know, I was at Woodstock in August of 1969 up in New York, the original, out in the mud with everybody else. And one of the artists that I saw perform there was a fellow named Richie Havens. Richie Havens was on stage. Some of you old folks will remember Richie Havens. I asked a young person last night if they knew who he was, and they said, well, I saw the movie. So there you go. But anyway, Richie Havens was on stage, and one of the songs that he sang went like this. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child, a long, long way from my home. And as I stood out there in the crowd that evening, listening to Richie Havens sing that very sad and that very doleful refrain over and over again, there was a pain that gripped me that was so awful that I can't even describe it to you in words. Because friends, as I stood out there in the mud of Woodstock, that was exactly how I felt, like a sad little boy, adrift on the sea of life, motherless, fatherless, shepherdless, all alone. Well, I'm so thankful that I don't have that feeling anymore. I'm so thankful, in fact, that I haven't had that feeling once in the last 35 years, because 35 years ago, when I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ, I got a shepherd, a personal shepherd, a loving shepherd, a heavenly shepherd, who took all of that pain and emptiness away from me. And this Thanksgiving, I am so thankful for that. I'm thankful, second of all, that I have a God who restores my soul. Psalm 23, verse 3 says, very simply, He restores my soul. And as most of you know, I have a little girl named Jill who's 13 with very serious and severe disabilities. And when Jill was just a very little girl, somebody gave my wife and me a piece of embroidery. I'm holding it up, that we framed, and it simply says, He restoreth my soul. And Brenda hung this on the wall in Jill's bedroom, and it's been there ever since. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in Jill's room during the evening or the day, managing a seizure that she was having, waiting for the rescue squad to arrive and take her to the emergency room. I remember in the year 2000, Jill lost the ability to walk, lost the ability to even sit up, and we had to carry her everywhere we went. And the doctor told us that he thought the seizures had just taken too much of a toll, and we needed to get used to the fact we were going to lose her soon. And I can't tell you how many times, standing there in her room in crisis, I would look up at this little sign, and I would say, Oh, Lord Jesus, that's exactly what I need right now. My heart is discouraged. My soul is weary. My spirit is dry. My heart is afraid. My soul is lonely. I'm heavy laden and I'm burdened down. And Lord, I need you to restore my soul right now in a way that only you can do. And all I can tell you is that every time, somehow, some way, God did this for Brenda and me. I always marveled that He could do it time after time after time and never seem to run dry. But then I'm reminded of the great hymn that says, For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Listen to me, friends. People can cheer us up. People can put their arms around us and console us. People can pray for us and with us. People can bring us meals. People can give us money, but people cannot restore your soul. Only the living, risen Christ can restore the soul of a human being. So don't waste your time looking in this world system for something that this world system cannot do. Only the Lord Jesus Christ Himself can do it. And I'm so thankful that there is no tragedy so deep. I am thankful that there is no crisis so dark. I am thankful that there is no black hole so bottomless that the living, risen Christ can't restore a soul in the middle of it. Number three, I'm thankful that I have a God who leads me through this life. Psalm 23, verse 3 continues, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, physical shepherds spend their entire lives guiding their sheep, leading their sheep. And the reason is that sheep are utterly incapable of leading themselves. Sheep have very poor eyesight. They are very dumb animals. They have no internal compass. They have no ability to assess their situation and react strategically. If a sheep gets lost, I can promise you it will not find its way back home. Put simply, lassie, they're not. You understand what I'm saying? And therefore, one of the major jobs of an earthly shepherd is to lead his sheep every day, to guide his sheep every day. If he doesn't do this, his sheep will get themselves in more trouble than you can shake a stick at. They will self-destruct in no time. Now, did you ever wonder why in the Bible God constantly refers to you and me as sheep? You ever wonder why? Friends, it's because we're not lassie either. It's because when we try to lead ourselves through this life on our own, we get ourselves into a peck of trouble. We get ourselves into more trouble than you can shake a stick at. We self-destruct. And that's why I am so thankful that I have a heavenly shepherd who says, if you'll just let me, I'll lead you, Lon, and all you have to do is follow. And we'll keep you out of trouble. You know, when I came to Christ at the age of 22, the man who led me to Christ, Bob Eckhart, said to me, Now, Lon, as part of coming to Christ, you need to understand that you're going to have to get out of the driver's seat of your life, and you're going to have to let Jesus get in, and you're going to have to let Him run and let Him direct your life. Do you have a problem with that? I said, what, are you kidding? I said, no. I said, I know I need that. I'm looking for that in my life. I've run my own life for 21 years, and I've made an absolute mess out of my life. And if you wound it all the way back to the beginning and let me try again, I couldn't do any better. I did the best I could the first time. I said, I know I need somebody to lead my life. And friends, I'm so grateful that the Lord Jesus says, wonderful, I'll be happy to do that for you. Listen, Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, God says. I will guide you with my eye. Isaiah 30, verse 21, and your ears will hear a voice behind you, God's voice, saying, this is the way. Now walk in it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, look, and He will direct your paths. Friends, the good shepherd of the universe offers to lead and direct our paths for one simple reason, and that is we need Him to. And wise people are anxious to have Him do that. I'm so grateful we have a shepherd who says, I'll be happy to lead your life if you just let me. Number four, I'm thankful that I have a God who is always with me. Verse 4, chapter 23, Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why is that, David? For you, Lord, are with me. Friends, as we go through life, as you know, we face all kinds of fears. Some of them are real. Some of them are imagined. But it doesn't matter whether they're real or imaginary. God's solution to our fear is the same in both cases. God simply says, don't worry, I will be with you. When Abraham was feeling scared and insecure in the land of Canaan, how did God reassure him? He said, Genesis 26, Abraham, fear not, for I am with you. When Jacob was afraid to go back and face his angry brother Esau, how did God reassure him? Genesis 31. He said, fear not, Jacob, for I will be with you. When Moses met God at the burning bush, Exodus chapter 3, and God said, Moses, I'm sending you back to Pharaoh and to face the most powerful nation on earth. And Moses was just a slight bit concerned how he was going to do it with just a stick. What did God say to him? God said, fear not, certainly I will be with you. And when Joshua took over leading the Israelites into the promised land, what did God say to reassure Joshua? He said, as I was with Moses, Joshua, so in the same way I will be with you. Friends, this is what God has said to everyone who has ever faced a scary valley in their life. God, when you face a scary valley, doesn't offer you pop psychology. When you face a scary valley, God doesn't offer you Oprah speak or psychobabble. What does God offer you? God offers you and me His personal presence. And you know what? For a sheep, that's all we need. To know the shepherd's there, that's all we need. And what's really cool in every case is that for all of these people that God offered His personal presence to, hand in hand, God led them through the valley just the way He promised, and God deposited them safely on the other side of the valley just like He said He would. Now here in our modern world, I'm so thankful that we have that very same promise from God. Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave you, Jesus said, nor will I ever forsake you. And friends, as God's sheep here in the modern world, it doesn't matter what we're facing. It doesn't matter how rough it looks. It doesn't matter how scared we are. It doesn't matter how deep the valley seems to be. God gives every one of us the very same assurance that He gave Abraham and Jacob and Joshua and Moses. He simply says to us, don't fear, because I will be with you. And as I said, for a sheep, that's all we need to know. I'm grateful that I have that promise from God. Number five, finally, I'm thankful that God promises me a bright future, both here on earth and in eternity. Verse 6, Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I've known this verse since I was a child. I've recited it more times than I can even remember. You probably have too. But it never really struck me the full impact of this verse until recently. Look what God's saying here. Two things. First of all, he says that here in this life, everywhere I go, goodness and mercy will follow me. Now let's define. Goodness means God's blessing, his bounty, his benevolence. Mercy means God's forgiveness, his forbearance, his compassion. Goodness supplies all my needs, while mercy blots out all my failures and my sins. And here in Psalm 23, God promises me, as one of his sheep in Jesus Christ, that both of these spiritual commodities, goodness and mercy, will accompany me everywhere I go in this life. But there's more. God says, when I'm done with this life, and it's time to leave this life, and I don't need goodness and mercy in this life anymore, then I've still got a promise from him that I will dwell in the house of the Lord, heaven, forever. Psalm 23 tells me that as one of God's sheep, I will never be kicked out of the sheepfold. I will never stop being one of God's sheep. I will be a member of God's flock, not only every day I live on this earth, but also every day I live in eternity as well. This is what Jesus said. John 10, verse 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now watch. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, nor shall anyone pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, who gave them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck my sheep out of my Father's hand. Now, friends, until somebody comes along who's greater than God himself, and I wouldn't hold your breath on that one, until that happens, Jesus says that as his sheep, we are absolutely secure in this life with goodness and mercy everywhere we go, and we are absolutely secure in the next life with heaven as our promise and eternal life as our possession. And friends, you can take that to the bank. You know, the greatest evangelist of the 19th century, one of the greatest evangelists of all time, was a fellow named Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody died in 1899 at the end of over 40 years of doing open-air meetings and crusades. He was the forerunner of Billy Graham and Luis Palau and all that we see today in terms of these large meetings. Dwight L. Moody started them. His biographer estimates that Moody personally led between 1 and 2 million people to Jesus Christ all by himself. Moody was once asked about his death by a reporter, and here was what he said to that reporter, and I quote. He said, one day, one of these days, you will read in the papers that Dwight L. Moody of East Northfield, Massachusetts, has died. Moody said, don't you believe a word of it? He said, at that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I will have gone up higher. That's all. Out of this old clay tenement into a house that is immortal, a body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. Moody continued, I was born of the flesh in 1837. I was born of God's Spirit in 1855. That which is born of flesh may die, but that which is born of God's Spirit shall never die. End of quote. Well, I'm done. Let me summarize. I hope you'll take some time this Thanksgiving weekend to count all the spiritual blessings that the Lord's given you. And I've got five that I'm counting that maybe you might want to count too. Number one, I'm thankful that I have a personal heavenly shepherd and that I'm not a motherless child anymore. I'm thankful, number two, that I have a God who restores my soul and he never runs dry and there's no circumstance where he can't do it. Number three, I'm thankful that I have a God who leads me through this life because I openly confess I'm a dumb sheep and I need it. And I'm grateful for it. Number four, I am thankful that I have a God who is always with me and who assuages every fear I ever have with the simple words, Lon, don't worry, I'm with you. And finally, I'm very grateful this Thanksgiving that I have a God who has promised me a bright future, goodness and mercy on earth, and eternal life for eternity when I leave. Hey, you know what? The way I see it is with these five things in my life, I don't care what else is happening on any given day. I don't see how a day can't be a good day when you know you got all of this and a lot more that the Lord Jesus has given you. Now, let me close by saying if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus in a real and personal way, friend, I want you to know that God is anxious to make you one of His personal sheep. God is anxious to give you all of these spiritual blessings we've talked about and more. In fact, the only thing standing in the way of God doing all this for you is you. Because the only way God can become your personal heavenly shepherd is if you volunteer to become one of His sheep. Is if you open up your heart and life and invite Him in to take over as your personal Lord and Savior. And so maybe you've never done that. We're going to give you an opportunity to do it and join the sheepfold right here today. So let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes. And if you'd like to invite Jesus Christ into your life today as your personal shepherd, your personal Savior, then I'm going to pray a short little prayer, and I want you to pray silently right after me. We're going to do it one phrase at a time. I'll pray out loud, you pray silently, and let's get this done and ask Jesus Christ into your life. If you want to do it, here we go. You pray silently and do it one phrase at a time right after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today because I want you to be my personal shepherd. And I want to be one of your personal sheep. So today I open my heart and I invite you into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. Today I transfer my trust for getting into heaven off of all of my good works and all my religious activity, and I transfer my trust instead onto the blood of Christ shed on the cross to pay for my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. Forgive my sins. Give me eternal life. And make me one of your sheep. I surrender my heart and my life to you today. In Jesus' name. And Father, I want to pray for the people who prayed that prayer. That you would reassure them that they have become, if they prayed it sincerely, one of your sheep. That you've just conducted for them the greatest transaction in all of the universe. You've taken them and they've passed, as the Bible says, from death to life. They've passed from being lost to being found. They've passed, Lord, from heading for a horrible eternity into heading for an eternity with you in heaven. And so I pray today that this would be the beginning of a whole new experience for them, like it was for me 35 years ago. An experience that would transform their life radically forever, that they would never be the same again. And Father, I thank you for all of us here who are followers of Christ already. Remind us this Thanksgiving, right from Psalm 23, of the incredible things you've done for us. Lord, we love you because you loved us enough that you came and died on the cross so we could have these blessings in our life. Accept our worship and our thanksgiving this weekend. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, lonsolomonministries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, So What.